Welcome, welcome, curious souls, to the Macabre Emporium, your sanctuary for the unusual, the mysterious, and the appalling.
Step through our cryptic doorway into a world where secrets whisper and enigmas come to life.
I'm David.
And I'm Sarah.
Together, we're your custodians of the macabre, guiding you through tales that defy the ordinary.
Discover the untold stories, from lesser-known cases of true crime to the bizarre events that captivate us.
Join us on a journey to the shadows where the mainstream fades and the extraordinary beckons.
So whether you seek the bizarre, the eerie, or the chillingly obscure,
you're in for a treat here at Macabre Emporium.
Welcome back to Macabre Emporium. This is episode
100. And if you're early for 2 weeks episodes in a row, welcome.
Welcome.
She's closer this time.
Closer?
Yeah. Look where the little ding comes in. That's when you're supposed to start talking.
I will say it. And apparently
I can't talk today. And the ghost is wrecking the Emporium office, apparently, if you heard that noise. All three of them have decided to join us today, which is rare that they all come in here at the same time.
Yes.
And if you are joining us for the first time, we are talking about our three shop cats, Legosi, Ginger, and Salem.
I'll apologize ahead of time. I was sick all last week, basically.
Pretty much.
And still sound like shit. So, sorry not sorry.
It's life. That's what happens.
Life do be happening.
So not much to report on our end other than going to the Festival of Oddities in Charlotte, Michigan, the same town where we went to the fundraiser, which allowed us to go get a private investigation at the Stimson Hospital.
Yep.
So that was a lot of fun, too. I mean, got to see some lizards. She's rolling her eyes at me.
One was enough.
But, you know.
That gigantic one they had.
You know, the Timu or whatever it was. I think that's
something
what it was
like
called.
Yeah.
I don't remember what this name
was. It was huge.
Yep. Sarah Slash was like, no, sir, I don't like it. And turn around and went the other way.
I did. No, thank you.
And the thing is, Sarah likes like all animals. And then when like a couple of years ago, we went to a family friend's house for a birthday party. And this is when I realized Sarah doesn't care for reptiles because they had like two or three bearded dragons, which are like just... probably like the chillest ones of all.
Yep.
And she's like, yep, I see it. Uh-huh. Yeah, I was a little surprised by that.
Yep. Snakes, lizards. No, thank you. Those are probably the only ones I don't like.
Well, true, but it still surprised the hell out of me.
Oh, yeah. Don't like them. Slithery little bastards.
What is it about lizards you don't like?
I don't know.
You just
don't.
You just see them and it's like, no, sir, I don't like it. Like Mr. Horse.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part.
Yep.
Throwback to our childhood there.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything in particular that makes me not like them. I just don't.
Yeah.
They're gross looking.
Yep. Even the super colorful ones?
Yep.
Okay. There you go. There's a little Sarah lore for you guys.
There's got to be an animal that you don't like.
I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
What's your favorite animal?
Now you're going to put me on the spot. I have no idea.
Yep.
You know what yours is?
What is it?
Yours is a sea turtle.
Yeah.
Come on. You think I was not going to remember that?
I was going to be sad if you didn't. Like I've only mentioned it a million times.
Right. I know.
And that idiot. He's one of my favorite animals.
He's your favorite. Your second favorite idiot. Next to me. So they're seeing some lizards and lots of dead animals and stuff. Well, not dead animals. Bones.
Bones and dead things in jars.
Creepy dolls. Couple clowns.
There were a lot of creepy dolls.
Yeah. There was like two creepy clowns, which apparently they have a TikTok channel.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
The festival like main page actually posted one of their videos.
Huh. They looked familiar. I've probably seen them on there.
You probably have, since you're more on the TikTokies more than I am.
Yeah.
But anyhow.
Oh, the booth that had the kittens that you could donate $2 to cuddle the kittens.
Yep. There was a line for that.
We didn't do that. I would have done that, and then I would have been sad because we weren't walking home with one.
Yep.
Especially the little black one.
Yep. Your chunky boy that's cuddled up in a shop blanket right now on the floor is like, would have been judging you finally.
He would have been so mad.
Yeah, he would have been.
So mad.
I think they were doing like some kind of wheel spin for like pet toys. We probably should have done that too to help him out.
Yeah.
But it's too late now. Maybe next year.
Next time. And the best cookies we've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to post pictures of those.
Yep. The one picture that I took of them.
And link the lady shop. I looked. I didn't see anywhere to order them and have them delivered. Yeah, that's not delivered. Shipped.
Again, the word you were looking for is shipped, because on the way home, talking about this cookie, she kept saying delivered. And I'm like, do you mean shipped? Yeah, that's what I mean.
And that I was, still fucked it up.
Yep.
It's like going through the Arby's drive thru and asking for mild sauce. All over again.
Yep.
I fucked that up even trying to correct myself.
And also the pulled pork and mac and cheese from the Boar's Nest barbecue trailer.
Yes.
I think was the name of it, across from Needful Things. Fun fact, that was my first choice of the name for this podcast, but somebody already took it.
Yep.
Or no, it was like first or second. The junk drawer was one first or second because of us going to be doing multiple things. That was already taken. Mm-hmm. The Needful Things was already taken. So then that's when I started like, what's other words for stores? Emporium, you know what? And then there's like Macabre. And then, you know, I ran past you. You're like, yep.
Yeah.
And then ran it past a friend, Kevin. He's like, that name's absolutely amazing. And how is that not taken yet? Well, it's about to be. We're putting on an episode zero so we can stake our claim before somebody else pops something out.
Word.
And that's what how that happened. Yep.
Yeah. He's so cute. So stupid.
Legosi is just hanging out above us, just staring down at us today. Normally he's on the table with us, but for some reason today he wants to be up high staring down at us. I don't know why.
Probably because of her.
Maybe. Because Ginger's on the table tonight. Falling asleep, sitting up.
Yep.
And Salem's balled up on the floor. This is actually really weird. No, there are never the three of them are ever in here at the same time. Usually the door is open and they wander in and out on their own. Legosi's usually in loaf mode on the table with us until we're done. You've been around long enough. You've heard Ginger probably faintly screaming in the background at us as she makes her entrance into the room, as the diva she is.
Faintly. If only they could actually hear how loud she is.
Yeah, like if you actually hear Ginger, she's actually being loud enough to activate the noise gate to open so it can be recorded. So,
like, think of somebody that has headphones, like really loud headphones on, right, and you try and talk to them and they keep them on and they try to talk to you and they're talking super loud because they can't hear themselves.
Right.
That's Ginger.
Yeah, I do know that one person does listen to us whenever they hear that the cat's faintly, they'll rewind it and turn it up just so they can hear. Or in the earlier days before we had the equipment that had the noise gate, would turn it up so they can hear Legosi sticky beans on the table in the beginning. So what do you have for us this week on the 100th episode there, Sarah?
True crime.
Of course.
But
she didn't think about it. She should have probably thrown me a loop for the 100th episode. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you got true crime. And you're like, no, I got history. And then I would be like, no, you don't. You're a liar. And then she actually had it. And we all would be like, oh, my God, or something.
This bitch actually has history. No, it is true crime. But I will preface this by saying that the more I talk, the more agitated my throat gets, the more I cough. So this is going to be a quicker case.
Okay.
It's not going to be as long as it normally is. It's still lengthy, but it's not going to be close to an hour or any of that.
Right. Well, you said that before, and it's turned into an hour. We've started off episodes in the past.
Where hopefully like, not, because I'm not trying to give myself a sore throat again.
I know, but there's been episodes like, oh, this is going to be a quick one, and then it's an hour later. Because we go into it thinking that it's like, oh, yeah, this is going to be like 20 minutes and then like not any of the extra stuff that I need to bring back or talk about, you know, the banner about things we've done. Nope. Straight to the point with the story. It's been like an hour. So, all right. So with all that said, are you ready to get started?
Yes.
All right, then let's get going.
Rodney and Jara Wilson gave birth to a baby girl on September 4th, 1996 in Weatherford, Oklahoma. Her name was Jare. And I'll say that I don't know exactly how to pronounce mom's name. It's either Jara, Jara, J-A-R-A. So I'm just going to say Jara. Jare enjoyed music. She was a singer. She also played instruments. She played the trumpet and the guitar, which are two totally different classes. Right. Like, I could see somebody playing, like, singing and playing guitar, but not really singing and playing the trumpet. I don't know why. She was a very cute little goth kid. Really, really cute little goth kid. You'll see when I post the picture. She was kind of a tomboy in the fact that she liked to ride motorcycles and four-wheelers. She was an artist that absolutely loved to draw. She was a massive animal lover, and her favorite thing to be around were cats, dogs, and horses. As any normal teenager, Joy was often described as headstrong, or bullheaded, stubborn, any of those. But not just that, she was also one that really looked out for her own self. Very independent, self-sufficient, all of that. With being headstrong came a sense of entitlement, to a point. In early October 2012, 16-year-old Jeray and her parents got into an argument, and Jeray decided to run away after being grounded. October 14th, 2012, Jeray kept in contact with her parents throughout the time that she was, you know, a runaway. She would send good morning texts, whatever. She had talked to her parents on the phone that day and said that she would come back if they would take away her curfew, which I'm assuming is why she got grounded. She must have broke curfew.
Right.
And her parents told her that that was not happening.
How old is she again?
At this time, she is 16.
So even if she got caught, like now, if she would get caught by law enforcement out at some point, she would end up going back home anyway, even though she ran away.
Mm-hmm. October 15th, 2012, Rodney and Jara called the police to report Jeray missing. The last contact they had with her had been 5 p.m.-ish the previous day. They created missing persons posters and put them up around town and posted them online. And no one seemed to know where she was, and Jeray didn't come home. Police told Rodney and Jara that Jeray was probably having the time of her life as a runaway, and that there wasn't really anything that they could do at this point. Needless to say, the missing persons report was not taken seriously by any means. Police did wind up issuing an Amber Alert for Jeray, just, I don't know, for good measure.
Right.
After she had been missing for 2 weeks and her parents had no contact with her since the 15th, police finally started to take this more seriously and started an actual investigation. They got Jeray's cell phone records, and the last blip of anything on her phone was October 14th at 7 p.m., which would have been the time that she talked to her parents, saying, if you take away my curfew, I'll come home. Jeray's friends were contacted, and they stated that she was dropped off at a gas station and then picked up later on that night and then dropped off at a friend's house. And then she left that friend's house to hang on with two of her male friends, Tucker McGee and Cody Godfrey, later on. Tucker and Cody stated that they were with Jeray, that they drove around talking until they dropped her off at some apartments around 7 p.m., and this aligned with the ping on her cell phone.
I'm sorry, but Tucker McGee sounds like a really made-up name, like a badly made-up name.
It's a real name.
I know, but it just sounds like it's made up.
Further investigation showed that Jeray was dating a 25-year-old dude that had a long history of drug use. 16, dating a 25-year-old.
And the first thing that came to mind was a pencil-thin jawline, beard, and a fucking gold chain.
I don't know. Police searched for him and found him. However, he was already in jail, so there's no chance that she was actually with him. He denied having anything to do with Jeray's disappearance, but stated that she owed a guy named Gilberto, a.k.a. G, like $700. G's reputation was not great. It was rumored that he was tied to the cartel as a drug dealer and a human trafficker. And oddly enough, Jeray had told one of her friends not long after meeting G that she was, like, terrified to be trafficked.
Right.
Like, she just threw it out there, just out of the blue.
Right. I don't know. Here's an idea. Stop fucking talking to him.
Right. G did admit that he knew Jeray and that he had offered to drive her wherever she was wanting to go. However, he passed his polygraph test and they found out that he had zero ties to the cartel and no history of trafficking or anything like right. that. Rodney and Jara held a vigil every month on the 15th and they had planned to do so until Jeray returned home. At this point, the police were lost and all of the leads that they followed didn't pan out. So they decided to start from the beginning again. The police went back to interviewing Jeray's friends. They started with Tucker and Cody. The two still had the exact same story that they drove around and then dropped Jeray off at the apartments. What Tucker and Cody didn't know is that police now knew that they were the last ones to be in contact with Jeray. When they found that out, Cody cracked immediately, and the truth was about to come out. Tucker got a text from Jeray asking for a ride. Cody got wind of it and grabbed a gun, jokingly, not jokingly, saying they should kill her.
Why the fuck would you joke about that shit?
Right. They chiefed down some synthetic marijuana prior to picking Jeray up. They drove Jeray to a remote location, and there the three of them got out, walked around the woods together for a while, and then Cody stated as they were about to leave, he walked to the car and got in, and that Tucker had the gun tucked in his pants. Tucker was a Tucker. But he pulled the gun out and just straight up shot Jeray in the side of the head. Cody got out of the car, saw Jeray laying there, moaning in agony, so he didn't kill her with that shot.
Right.
Cody got pissed because Tucker fucked up, clearly. So Tucker walked over to Jeray and shot her point blank in the face. Cody assisted in moving Jeray's body. After that, the two guys got back in their car, went back to town, and threw all of Jeray's belongings into a dumpster. Just a random-ass dumpster. Just to be rid of her stuff, so none of it tracked back to them. Tucker and Cody went back to the crime scene, but this time they brought their friend Caleb McLemore, and the three of them dug a shallow grave and rolled Jeray into it. On October 14th, Jeray had texted a friend stating that Tucker and Cody gave her the heebie-jeebies. The heebie-skeebies.
The heebie-skeebies.
The heebie-skeebies. He's always going to be heebie-skeebie. December 17th, 2013, police had Cody take them to where Jeray was buried. When they got there, Cody acted stupid like he wasn't sure this is where she's buried.
Right. This is just like Ronald Clark O'Brien when trying to play dumb after he murdered his kids with the pixie sticks. Yep.
It didn't take them long to find remains. While they couldn't say for sure if the remains were Jeray Wilson's, they still contacted Rodney and Jara to let them know. They got Jeray's dental records and used them against the skull that they had found, and it was a match. The skeleton they found was Jeray's. After identifying Jeray, the police had Cody make a call to Tucker. Tucker stated that he knew he messed up, and Cody asked if he still had the gun. The cops were listening to all this.
Right.
Tucker said the gun was gone. Caleb, the third that helped bury...
The third idiot.
Yeah. He was brought in for questioning and started out very uncooperative. Later on, he told his side of the story, which matched up 100% to what Cody told the police.
Right.
Tucker McGee was arrested at home, and police noticed a bunch of posters on his wall of the he's not a hero, but he's not a hero in a way.
The Punisher?
Dexter.
Okay.
Because he was a serial killer that killed the bad guys, but he had him all over his walls. So there's that. Prosecutors sought the death penalty, and unfortunately, Tucker was 10 days from turning 18 when he killed Jeray, so they couldn't give him the death penalty because he was still a minor. So they settled for life in prison instead. On March 3rd, 2015, Tucker was charged with first-degree murder and sentenced to life in prison with no possibility of parole. That sentence was overturned because Oklahoma minors cannot be sentenced to life in prison with no possibility of parole.
June. Oh, God.
Huh?
Just stupid technicalities on that shit. He made an adult choice as a fucking teen. That's why in our state that you can be tried as an adult, as a teen here in the state of Indiana.
I feel if you murder anybody, no matter what your age, you should be tried as an adult.
I understand that.
But that's an adult-ass crime. You did it. You get the adult-ass
You have sentence. The adult mindset to go through with this shit.
Yep.
I mean, there's like the one case I could think of from the micropene regime, like,
yeah,
I wouldn't say it's an exception, but his childlike mindset of not thinking that, yeah, this is actually going to kill my dad or whatever.
Yeah,
I can't remember the details. It's been so long ago since we've done that, but you know what I'm, you know exactly what I'm talking about with that. But there's other hundreds, thousands of other cases out there where kids do this shit intentionally.
Yep,
you know, it's just like, oh my God,
and it was intentional. They had joked about it.
Oh.
That should have come with the maximum sentence they could have gotten.
Right.
June 2017, he was resentenced to life in prison with the possibility of parole after serving 38 years. So he was for sure serving 38 years before he could get the possibility of parole. He is currently serving a sentence at Oklahoma's Lawton Correctional Facility. Caleb McLemore and another underage unnamed boy, which I assume is Cody. Because I didn't see anything else about a fourth person.
Right. I'm sure you looked into trying to find a fourth person of some sort.
They were also brought to court for their connection in helping get rid of the body. Cody Godfrey pled guilty to accessory after the fact. No jail time.
Probably because of his cooperation of confessing and showing where the body, you know, the grave was and all the stuff to help the investigators get to that probably helped him in that matter, maybe, possibly.
Kayla McLemore pled not guilty to accessory after the fact and was sentenced to 2 years in prison and 15 years probation.
Right.
And all he did was help bury the body.
Right. But the other one, since he cracked and showed him where the body was, they probably took that in consideration that he was very cooperative.
I guess.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. They all need to rot. Rodney and Jara Wilson filed a motion to have minors that murdered somebody be handed a sentence with no possibility of parole attached to it. And unfortunately, Oklahoma denied that.
Of course they did.
Anybody under the age of 18 is, I guess, free to murder somebody and be able to get out someday. That's my my case.
You know, the one big high-profile case from our area about the one home invasion case, how they're all now basically out of prison because of the crimes that were committed with their minors. Yeah. So
that was a whole different kind of
weird. I know that. Yeah, that was a whole kind of different weird thing because of, you know,
how what happened and how it
the laws are written out here in the state because of that kind of thing. For those that don't know what we're talking about, there was a home invasion case here in the state that happened blocks away from where I lived at the time before Sarah and I met, got together and she moved down here. Four teenagers decided to do, actually, no, there's five. If I remember correctly, it was five. One of them got killed, four remained, one stayed across the street because he didn't want to go in the house. The other three did. And they all got charged with murder because of their friend got shot and killed by the homeowner defending himself and his property from home invaders, basically. So they were charged with murder because of their friend getting killed during this home invasion. And then they all got out scot-free because they were minors. And there's like a whole long drawn-out bullshit and like things that happened along the way. Like they like tried to do fundraisers in the area with, you know, with a barbecue chicken company.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah.
My barbecue chicken company? Yep.
And like one store, like when the you know, general public found out about that, there was a huge uproar. That store said, nope, you're not doing it here now. And then they tried moving elsewhere and they're like, nope. So they had to bail that whole situation out. So yeah, I will not be covering that ever because of how close to home it was to me. Not because of traumatic experiences, just from seeing and hearing all this stuff. Yes, I understand it's a whole lot of research and stuff we can do, but I'm not getting involved with that.
Yeah, that's a drain we don't need to circle.
Yep, that's for somebody else's show to do, not ours.
No, but yeah, that was my case. It was, like I said, it was going to be a quick one.
I know.
But.
Yeah, I know, usually episode 100 is this big thing, like some shows they do, like one of, you know, one that I listen to every 100 episodes, they do some big thing, like the first 100 episodes, they got shit faced, and then like this when they reached 200, they did other some other, I think it was like not ecstasy, maybe, I don't remember.
Oh,
I remember it was like they got drunk the first 100 episodes. I'm talking about Time Suck with Dane Cummins, by the way, for anybody that's wondering. Every 100 episodes every 100 episodes he does this big thing, like his first 100 he got super shit faced drunk and recorded his episode 100. And then 200 did like shrooms or acid. I don't remember.
Like it was shrooms.
I don't remember. I just remember there was like that he forgot how to whistle because he was high as shit on on either acid or.
But that wouldn't work for us. One, we don't drink like that.
Right. Not anymore. We let that shit in our 20s.
We don't do drugs.
Nope.
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to function doing any of that shit. Right. So that's a hard no. However, we are going to do something special for this being our 100th episode.
Yep.
We have some things lined up and there will be I don't know if it'll be a contest or just like Ginger says hello if you can't hear her loud ass mouth.
Well, the noise on your mic was open from you talking, so I'm sure they heard it.
But I don't know if it'll be a contest of some sort or like you guys pick a number between this and whoever gets closest without going over will be the winner. We'll figure it out. We'll get it posted as soon as we can. But there are some very, very cool things in this that you guys will get and hopefully appreciate. My sister is donating some of her art to this. So it's going to be cool. And I'm fucking jealous.
Yep. So if you want to see what this is going to be when we make the announcement, make sure to join the Facebook group.
Yep, because that's where it'll be posted.
Yep.
And we're not going to give out too many details here when we get all of the details together.
Yep.
We'll just let you know, hey, it's live on the Facebook group, and go from there.
So, yeah. So with that said, now you're ready to get on because you're still not feeling great. So are you ready to get out of the podium for the day, Sarah?
I am.
So until next time, guys.
Remember to creep it real.
And stay spooky.
Join our Facebook group by searching Macabre Emporium. Like and subscribe on YouTube at Macabre Emporium Podcast. Follow us on TikTok at Macabre Emporium Pod. Follow us on Twitter at Macabre Emporium. If you have any stories of the paranormal, your local true crime or weird history that you would like us to look into and possibly do an episode on, email us at macabreemporiumpod@gmail.com. And remember to follow, rate, review, and share whenever and wherever you can to help us grow our podcast.